How many of you guys know what arteriosclerosis is? Who knows? Arteriosclerosis. Yeah. Arteriosclerosis, it's the hardening of the heart. Hardening of the arteries or the blood vessels. Do we have our slides to go here? Thank you. Yeah. So it's the hardening of the blood vessels primarily that lead to the heart, and it blocks us up. It clogs it up so that the blood can't go through freely, fluidly. This comes about mainly because of diet. So we're eating too many Big Macs, too much Cha Siu Bao, too many greasy fried foods, and cholesterol builds up in our arteries, veins, and it clogs up the blood flow. And then we're at risk for things such as a heart attack. So this is arteriosclerosis. It hardens our hearts. But not only in the realm, in the physical realm, but also in the spiritual realm, we have to fight a hard heart. Sometimes we may get so caught up in our work or so get caught up in our school that we grow a little distant from spiritual things, and we get a cold or a hardened heart. Maybe in our relationships with others, sometimes there's blockage, there's clogging, and we're not talking to someone in our family because there's a clog, because there's a blockage in our hearts. On a societal or city or bigger scale, we've seen a hardening of our hearts. Just this last week, we witnessed that some of the most oppressive abortion laws were passed in the state of New York. If you look on the constable page here in Precinct 3, you'll see lots of drugs and weapons that were confiscated, thankfully, by our constable. But it speaks to the society that we're in. Where has our soul gone? Where is the hardening of our hearts? This today is the Super Bowl. And while it's a great rah-rah event, it's also a sad time because this is a weekend where some of the worst sex trafficking takes place in our whole country. Where is the soul? Where is the heart of ourselves as a culture? Do you have a hard heart? Do you know someone who has a hard heart? How do we deal with a culture that has had a hardening of the heart? Well, to find out, let's continue our study of Mark chapter 6. Turn with me to Mark chapter 6. Verses 45 to 46. And my clicker is kind of... Can we go back? My clicker's not working too well this morning. Can we go to blank screen? Okay. Thank you. And we're going to find out, how do we deal with hard hearts? How do we deal with hard hearts? How do we avoid hard hearts? And picking up in verse 45, we see that Jesus has just finished feeding 5,000 men. And we have our favorite word again in verse 45, immediately. How do you say that in Spanish? Pronto. Huh? Can you say that? Okay. Immediately. He compelled his disciples to get into the boat and go before him to the other side to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. Next slide, please. So we see that here we are, and we're probably on the south of the Sea of Galilee, and we're going to move into northerly towards Bethsaida. Next slide, please. And he's dismissing the crowd, and after he takes leave of them, so he's probably trying to give himself and his disciples a little R&R, which we talked about last week. And after he dismisses them, he goes up on the mountain to pray. Now, I want you to notice the staging in this narrative. And the first staging is we're going to the mountain. And as we seek to answer, how can we avoid those hard hearts? Our first principle is to go to the mountain to fellowship with the Lord, or to pray on the mountain. To pray on the mountain. Next slide. Next slide, please. Pray to God on the mountain. Now, David Platt has just shared with us at CMC that one of the best ways that he kept his love, his flame alive, because another speaker said, David, I see that you still have that passion. How do you still keep that passion after all these years in ministry? And he answered, it was at 10:30 at night. We had a meeting with pastors and David Platt at 10:30 at night at CMC. He said, I have always kept my time with the Lord. And that has helped me to keep my passion alive. And so as we seek to keep our hearts alive for the Lord, let us also go to the mountain and pray. Now, I agree with him. I agree with him. And there are some people in this room who all throughout junior high and high school, there are some people in this room, no matter how much things got busy at work, they have on a daily basis kept their mountain time with the Lord. And so I want to encourage you that as you are seeking to keep your heart alive, you got to go to the mountain. Go up to the mountain and fellowship with the Lord. Fellowship with the Lord. Just anybody know the Mountaintop song by Amy Grant? It was written almost 42 years ago. Anybody know that song? I love to sing and I love to pray. Worship the Lord most every day. I go to the temple and I just have to stay to hide from the hustle of the world and its ways. And I love to live on the mountaintop, fellowshipping with the Lord. I love to stand on the mountaintop, 'cause I love to feel my spirit soar. Okay, so friends, to keep that heart alive, to keep it from growing hard, go to the mountain and pray. Pray at the mountain. Think about it right now. When are you going to spend time with the Lord on the mountain? Is it going to be before you go to work or school? Is it going to be at your coffee break or your study hall time at school or work? Is it going to be right when you get home from work? Think about that. When are you going to spend time with the Lord to keep that heart alive? But let's move on. Let's move on. Verse 47. And when evening came, this is probably late in the evening because they just finished feeding the 5,000. They picked up the leftovers. So we're talking later in the evening. The boat was out on the sea and he was alone on the land. And if I could have my disciples come on up at this time, my actors, as well as our wind control. So So he sends him out on the boat, and he's alone on the land, okay? And he sees what? Verse 48. He saw that they were making headway painfully. They're having a hard time because there's this big wind, right? And the wind is against them. So he, in the fourth watch of the night, this is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., they're having a hard time rowing because this big wind, they're having a hard time. He has compassion. So then he starts to come to them walking on the water, and he means to pass them by. This means he's wanting to pass by them so that he can see them, not that he wants to pass them up, okay? But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost. They thought it was a ghost. The Greek word is phantasma, a phantom, an apparition. And they cried out. They cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. Be terrified. Okay, but here's our word, ma shang. Immediately. That's the Chinese word for immediately, okay? Immediately, he spoke to them. And he said, take heart. It is I. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And he got into the boat with them. And the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded. Okay, be astounded. Okay, all right, okay, come on, give me a little more here, brother. Okay. For they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were what? Hardened. Okay, thank you. Thank you, actors. Thank you. Give them a hand. All right. Thank you, brothers. So we're on the boat. So friends, how do we keep our hearts from growing hard, from growing cold? We need to pray on the mountain, but we also need to let Jesus, permit Jesus to be the Son of God on the sea. Permit Jesus to be who he truly is on the sea. Now, Mark is not painting a very complimentary picture of the disciples right now. They have a wrong idea, a wrong view of who Jesus is. And this goes with other people who have mistaken who Jesus truly is. For example, the scribes, who did they think Jesus was? They thought he was Satan. The hometown, the homeboys, Nazarenes, what did they think Jesus was? Some ordinary carpenter. Now, we're improving a little with Herod Antipas in the beginning of chapter 6. He thought he was the resurrected John the Baptist, a prophet of God at least. But what about the disciples? Who do they think Jesus is? Who's Mark painting Jesus to be? A ghost. A ghost. Can you believe it? Something is wrong with their hearts. It's not an intellectual matter. It's a heart matter. That's what Mark tells us. Their hearts were hard. I mean, didn't you have enough intellectual evidence? Haven't I cast out enough demons? Haven't I healed enough sickness? Haven't I calmed enough storms? Haven't I stilled enough waves? Haven't I fed enough people? Can't you see that I'm supernatural? There's something different about me? There's something deific? That I am the Son of God? That you think that this thing that's walking on the water, you'd rather believe that it's a ghost than it's me? And so, friends, we need to let Jesus be who he truly is, the Son of God. And as we want to have a softened heart, we need to permit Jesus to be the Son of God on the sea. In the day to day, as we're moving about our lives, let Jesus be true who he truly is in your life. Now, some of us need to settle the matter intellectually. I really don't think it's an intellectual issue. The evidence for the miracles of Jesus, especially his resurrection, is overwhelming. In fact, it takes more faith to believe that he's not the Son of God, that he's not God the Son, than to believe that he is. I believe it's the heart issue. And so each of us in our hearts, will we permit Jesus to be who he truly is? Now, there's several areas that we need to let Jesus into the boat. I mean, some of us are struggling with personal issues of holiness. And there's many different areas. But I want to focus on letting Jesus govern, be the first and primary authority in our relationships with others. And so some of us in here this morning, we're having a hard time with some significant people in our lives. Will you ask Jesus to be the Son of God, to govern that relationship with that child, with that parent, with that spouse, with that relative? And moving out from there, will you let Jesus govern your relationships in the church? And will you be a part of a missional community group or a focused small group that you are committed to relationships with one another? Will you commit to worshiping with the people of God no matter what? Not because you want to keep some legalistic standard, but because Jesus truly is the first and final authority in your life. And once again, there are high schoolers in here who, no matter how busy the course load got, no matter how many band practices they or orchestra practices that they had to go to, there are students in here who have been worshiping with the people of God every Sunday and have never missed. And there are working people in here who, no matter how busy it got at work, they never lost Jesus as that Son of God, first authority in their lives. And I want to challenge you and encourage you to permit Jesus to be God the Son on the sea. And moving on, as we're staging, we've been to the mountain, we've been to the sea. Now, when they crossed over, so they're heading towards Bethsaida, and it says they crossed over. They came to Gennesaret. They were supposed to go to Bethsaida. Probably the winds knocked them off course, and they ended up getting to Gennesaret, a little west of Bethsaida. And we're going to stay here for a while, though. We're going to moor into the shore. And they get out of the boat. And what happens? Here's our word again. Immediately, people recognize Jesus. And now look at the superlatives that are going to come at us. They ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came. And now look at the totality in villages, cities, or countryside. I mean, I don't know if you can name any other place. Basically, he's just saying everywhere, right? They laid the sick in the marketplaces, and here's our word, implored, begged, beseeched, parakaleo, where we get our word paraclete, the helper. We're begging that they might just touch even the fringe of his garment. Just the fringe. Just let me touch the fringe. And again, the superlatives, as many as touched it, They were sozo. They were saved. We translate that, they were made well, they were healed. But the word is sozo, to save, which can extend to beyond physical healing, physical salvation, but also spiritual salvation. So friends, how do we keep our hearts from growing cold, from growing hard? Pray on the mountain. Permit Jesus to be the Son of God on the sea. And proclaim Jesus' healing touch on the land. You see, the people who had tasted, they had done fellowshipping with the Lord. They had been fellowshipping with others. And they sensed, they knew the power and the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And after they tasted of it, they couldn't help but to promote, to propagate, to proclaim him to others. And so we too, as we seek to keep our hearts on fire for God, let us proclaim his healing touch to others. You know, a missionary told another missionary who was feeling depressed, he said, you know, one of the best ways to get out of your depression, let's go out and do some evangelism. And the fellow missionary followed his advice. They went out and did some evangelism to get him out of himself, to get him out of his depression. Now, that's not the primary reason, you know, we want to go share the gospel, you know, selfish reason. I want to be depressed, so I'm depressed, so let me share the gospel with you and I'll be happier, you know. But it is true. It is true. I have found out that when I'm serving the Lord, and maybe you found the same way, that when I'm proclaiming Christ, that I kind of get a spiritual charge. You know, my temperature, my spiritual temperature goes up. And I become more on fire for God. And so we too, though, as we seek to model and be what Mark is instructing us to do, let us also proclaim Jesus' healing touch on the land. You know, the end of that song, Mountaintop, goes, how does it go? Let me think of this for just a minute here. For I love to feel my spirit soar, but I've got to come down from that mountaintop to the people in the valley below, or they'll never know that they can go to the mountain of the Lord. All right? So you know, we want other people to see Jesus and be with God on the mountain. We want other people to experience Jesus on the sea as they're going through the life and meandering through life. So we got to come down from the mountain to the people in the valley below, or they'll never know that they can go to the mountain of the Lord. And so there are people in here in this room this morning who ride to work with people who may believe in Muhammad or other religions. And they are thinking of ways to share the gospel with their coworker. There are students in here this morning who interact with by other faith clubs on their campuses, hopefully to try to share the gospel with them. That same person in this room this morning who's trying to share the gospel with their coworker, they have neighbors who have not yet believed in Jesus, and they are seeking to do things like babysit their children, serve them, to show the love of Christ and to have opportunities to proclaim Jesus' healing touch with them. Good job. Keep up the good work. Proclaim Jesus' healing touch on the land. Well, friends, this morning, do you have a hard heart? Do you know someone who has a hard heart? We've learned that to keep our hearts warm for God, we need to pray on the mountain, permit Jesus to be God the Son on the sea, and proclaim his healing touch on the land. You know, we know the solution to avoiding heart disease. You got to eat right. You got to exercise right. And sometimes you may even need a little help from some cholesterol-reducing medicines to get that heart going. But for the spiritual heart, and as you do these things, you're going to clear up your arteries. But for the spiritual heart, remember, pray on the mountain. Let Jesus into your boat. Let him be the Son of God in your life, particularly in your relationships. And through relational evangelism, proclaim his healing touch to your friends and family and co-workers and fellow students. And God can take that heart of stone and break it into a heart of flesh. Lord, thank you for showing us how we can be your disciples, followers of Jesus. Lord, sometimes our hearts and our heads are hard. We're stubborn. Break our hearts, Lord, to be soft and malleable and teachable before you as we commune with you, as we let you be who you truly are in every area of our life. And as we promote you with others. In Jesus' name and for his glory.